Time is 3:05, and you are tuned to KTOO FM in Juneau. If you haven't been to the Alaska State Museum yet to see the two new exhibits they have, you take a chance to go over there now. Or maybe you want to go over there tonight, because we're talking to Dr. Peter Wasilewski. He's a planetary scientist at the Goddard Space Flight Center, and he's done some interesting images as part of those two shows that are there. His show is called Frisian. Peter, thank you very much for coming in the station.
I'm happy to be here.
What does a planetary scientist do?
A planetary scientist does the same thing he would do on Earth, except on Mars, on the Moon. I looked at moon rocks and meteorites and essentially tries to use the same kind of techniques that I've used for the Frisians, but except to look at rocks. That's the legacy of my Frisians.
When I walked into the Alaska State Museum on the second floor, I saw photos of shapes and colors and all sorts of wonderful kinds of things. What are we looking at?
Those are pictures of ice in a Petri dish on the way to becoming solid ice plates. But I capture what I want to capture when I see it, you know, kind of like a frame, a kind of organic piece that talks to me, and then I try to capture it and photograph it with a digital camera.
What would you call them, Frisians?
Frisian, yeah. It's my son and I decided what should these things be called, and so we came up with frozen vision, Frisian.
How do you do it?
Well, let's see.
You don't just grab an ice cube out of the refrigerator.
No, actually, the birth of Frisians happened after my first trip to the Lake Placid, where I have the History of Winter program that I started. And this is the same program that brought me here, because Mary Hakala, who is with the Economic Development Council here in Juneau, she came to visit Lake Placid last year, and she got excited about the color of ice, and so here I am. But my way of doing it was to, I said, how do I do this? So I turned off all my lights, I turned on my TV set, which was the only light source, and in my refrigerator freezer, in a glass Petri dish, I put little bits of water and watched the water freeze, and probably ended up wasting 1,000 pictures before I found one I really liked. So I probably have 10,000 pictures that I took, and if you look on the website, I think I have 35 that I kept.
Wow. The history of winter, that fascinates me. Tell me more about that if you could.
Well, the history of winter, you know, is kind of a concept. I grew up a geologist, and geologic stratigraphy is how you tell the history of the Earth. And so embodied in an ice core, in the lake ice, and embodied in the snowpack, where you can envision the metamorphism, the change in form of the ice with time, you can actually tell the history of the winter. And so that's where it all started. So we use the same basic techniques that NASA scientists use to do ground validation for satellite imagery, or somebody from the University of Alaska would use to study the lake ice or sea ice, or the people from Alaska who would go to Greenland to look at climatology in an ice core. Same basic techniques.
You sound a lot more like a scientist than an artist.
I was trained that way.
Tell me, you use polarized light. Tell me more about the tools you use to set up your experiments and photos.
It's actually quite simple. I'm sure, probably not as much as I do, but people here use sunglasses, and these sunglasses have Polaroid lenses. And what that does, they use Polaroid to try to eliminate reflections and things like that. So the Polaroid lens will constrain light that vibrates in all directions to essentially vibrate in one direction. So you take that light on top of a light table, and you can make a light table or buy a light table. And you essentially shine that light through a diffuse surface and through a Polaroid sheet, and then you pass that light through the ice. And the ice then doubly refracts that light, that plain polarized light going through. And depending on the thickness of the ice, you'll get a phase shift. And that dimension is really the wavelength of light that you're looking at. And so as long as you have ice that's about a half a millimeter or a quarter of a millimeter to 1.5 millimeters thick, you'll get beautiful color of ice.
Now, with 10,000 images, you've obviously not exactly sure what you're going to come up with, but I imagine you have a good idea. How often do you know, have a general idea of what you're going to get?
Well, now, after several years of experience in how to get what I want, I probably have a better record, like 1 in 10 that I pick that I like, as opposed to 1 in 1,000.
This is the perfect time of year for the show. And you've been doing some experiments. You've also been, Mary, you've been with some DZ students. Is that right?
Yep. Today we had a tough audience. We had two classes of 80 students at Santa Kahini, and they had a lot of fun. Peter did a presentation on the color of ice and also his work in Antarctica, his 6 expeditions there. And they were fascinated. Afterwards, we also messed around with the very same techniques he uses to look at thin sections of ice from icicles and glacier ice, and also ice that just came out of a freezer from a Petri dish, and using just simple 2 polarizing films and homemade light tables. And it's mesmerizing. It's beautiful and it's fascinating, and I think the kids got a lot out of it.
What was the kids? I imagine you do this stuff every now and then in front of some children. What's the most common question you get?
Well, let's see. I used to give lectures a lot. My first introduction to education was back in 1991, and I took 23 flags made by elementary school children from Japan and the United States to the Antarctic, and we went on an expedition and collected meteorites, and then we brought them back, and I went to every one of the 23 schools, and at least half the schools always wanted to know, how do you go to the bathroom? that's a big issue with the elementary school kids.
Well, do you want to share that with our listeners?
Well, just like you do here.
Well, you know, we had to ask, you know, that's a common question. Tonight, you're going to be talking at the University of Alaska Southeast Glacier Room, appropriately enough, at 7 p.m., under your lecture on the color of ice. What are you going to be talking about and showing slides, I imagine?
Yeah, there'll be about 39 slides, and we'll cover the whole gamut from lake ice and glacier ice and icicles and the contrast between natural and man-made ice and snow. I think I published in the NASA website, the main NASA website, a cross section of an ice rink, which is 1.5 inches thick, compared to a lake ice, or glacier ice, or sea ice, and it was very interesting. The crystal structure is different. The thing about ice is that there's an art to ice, because if you make a thin section and you use the polarized light, you can see the grain and how it grows. You can see the radial patterns in an icicle, and different radial patterns depending on the climate, basically. So it tells you, as the Mendenhall Glacier, for example, moves, you get the orientation of the sea axis and different aspects of the grain itself changing. And I'm sure there's a lot of guys studying the Mendenhall Glacier looking exactly at that, and they're using the same basic techniques that we're using to teach teachers. So the whole idea is to use ice and snow to make teachers better science teachers. That's our mission.
But it doesn't take a rocket scientist to do that.
No, you can watch TV and scratch an itch and wait for the ice to form.
Do you manipulate the images follow after you get them out of the camera?
What we might do is like one time there was a bug that landed in the water, and I wanted this picture, and so we had to eliminate the bug with Photoshop. But otherwise, it's just a little bit of maybe brightness. But I don't manipulate the picture. I don't colorize it. I don't do anything like that. It's just a mechanism. Photoshop is a mechanism for handling the pictures.
How do you come up with the titles?
My son and I sit down and kind of run these things past each other. I must say that he's come up with at least half of the names for the pictures. We feel that it should be compelling. We talk about what this means, what it looks like, and then we finally come up with it. It may take us a week to come up with a name. It takes a lot longer to get the name than it does to get the frisson.
Lisa Galistic from the Alaska State Museum is also in the studio with us. Lisa, where is the show is on the second floor. How long is it up for?
Great. It is up through February 21st, and the next First Friday will be an opportunity to see it free of charge if you wanted to come in the evenings as well.
And you had about 400 kids in there last weekend?
We did. Thanks to Mary Hockala's good work, Springboard, Juno Economic Development Council. You know, they contacted us and asked us about putting the exhibit there, and then she contacted me and said, how about a kids event? And we kind of came up with that idea together, and there's a lot of phenomenal scientists and artists in this community that came together to put on this very fun activity, and 400 people showed up in 2 hours, and so that's one measure of success, I guess, that the subject matter was interesting, but also the activity centers that were there were just greatly received, and thanks, Mary. That's great.
You're welcome. Well, you know, it's fun to do this because it is magical. I mean, there's science with snow and ice and water, and, you know, it's water in its frozen form. There's great science, and there's also magic. It's absolutely beautiful, and it's fascinating, and it's a good way to draw kids into science.
All right, and if you'd like to draw yourself into science, you can go to the lecture tonight at 7 o'clock at the Glacier Room of the University of Alaska Southeast. Where is the Glacier Room exactly? Do you know?
I believe it's in the same building as the library, the Egan Library. It's the right-hand wing.
Okay. Dr. Peter Rosalewski, thank you very much for coming by and talking about frisson. It's an interesting show, and proves that you don't have to be an artist to be exhibit your work in the Alaska State Museum.
You could be a scientist.
Thank you very much. It's my pleasure.